ABC Radio Australia.
An unprecedented conference has opened in Suva, Fiji, bringing island governments and their creditors together to tackle the twin problem of rising debt and climate change. Seven Pacific nations are considered to be at high risk of debt distress, including the most populous Papua New Guinea. Guests include Luke Fletcher. He's the executive director of Jubilee Australia, a non-profit organization that lobbies for economic justice and accountability for communities in the Asia Pacific.
Connecting these two issues is really critical because not as enough is being done to help Pacific nations adapt. And certainly financially, this is where countries need to step up. So the situation is critical when you connect those two issues, which is a positive thing that this conference is attempting to do.
You have co-authored a briefing paper in advance of the conference, and that paper contains a series of recommendations. What would you say is perhaps one of the two of the key recommendations that you would most like to see achieved, if possible, during the next few days?
One thing that the paper probably doesn't go into as much as it could, because it's very explicitly focused on the debt issue, is the question of climate finance. And that is something that will be coming up at the conference. One of the points that I'll be making is the critical importance that climate finance should in the future be predominantly grant-based and should be institutionalized at a regional level. So, for example, Pacific Islands Forum nations have got together and established this Pacific Resilience Fund with the intention of saying, we want to be able to say where and how and lay out our priorities for climate change adaptation. There hasn't been, in our view, enough financial support yet for funds like this, where the nations themselves are setting priority, rather than at the moment the focus is very much on creditor nations like Australia essentially deciding where it's going to give finance, whether it be for infrastructure through the infrastructure financing facility that Australia set up for the Pacific or for other things. So I think that's a really important message that we'll be wanting to get across about the importance of climate finance being grant-based, so it's not new debt creating, and the priorities are determined by the nations where the impacts are happening themselves. I mean, it sounds obvious when you say it, right? But it's really important. In terms of the question of debt, there's a suite of different solutions being talked about and that can be considered. I think one thing that we'd like to point out is that sovereign debt is often made worse by climate-related weather events that cause disasters. So we'd like to see something instituted whereby when you have one of these events, you have a two-step process where you have an immediate moratorium on debt repayments. And as that moratorium comes into place, a process by which you can look at debt restructuring and debt relief in a way that is meeting the needs of the debtor and the creditor. So that's just one of the ideas that we mentioned in the paper and that we'll be talking about at the conference. We'll also be talking about other mechanisms like debt swaps, which are a little bit more complicated in terms of their ability to address both the climate and the debt issue, but we'll be discussing them and others as well.
Would it be simplistic on my part to suggest that one potential solution here is, if you like, a trade-off of debt against climate change mitigation? Because let's face it, most of the large donors in the Pacific, they don't need the money, do they? So, I mean, if it was to be written off at this stage, it wouldn't be such a bad thing.
Another recommendation that we're going to be making at the conference, which didn't come out as strongly in the paper, and we're certainly not the first to make it, and this is something that goes beyond the Pacific. This is a global issue, that there needs to be a new heavily indebted poor nations initiative. So that was the initiative that was established in the late 90s and early 2000s, which was essentially a debt cancellation and debt relief for freeing up development funds. And around 30 or so nations, mostly in Africa and Latin America, were eligible for that. So what that did was it established a process whereby countries could be relieved of paying these burdensome debts, but it also established a quid pro quo to make sure that the relief on the budgets that countries had would be spent on poverty reduction. So what we'd be arguing is that the world needs something like this, but instead of focusing on poverty reduction, the focus would be more on climate change adaptation and maybe to a certain extent mitigation. It sounds like a complicated idea, but it's pretty simple actually when you strip it to its bare bones. And it's already been tried globally and it was a success. So we'd be arguing that that's something that the G20 should be thinking about. Obviously, a conference like this can't establish that that has to happen, but certainly it's worth bringing up.
In terms of who's attending this conference, does China have a presence? Because they, of course, have been accused on more than one occasion of paddling a strategy of debt diplomacy. diplomacy, which they fervently deny. But I mean, I guess that would be an issue, wouldn't it?
Yeah, China is a really critical player. It's the largest bilateral creditor in the Pacific. Japan also has some bilateral debts as well. The multilateral is also really important. But yeah, you're absolutely right. The presence of China is important. We're hearing that China looks like it will be attending. I guess we'll find out when the conference goes on through the week. So I do hope that China attends and is able to contribute constructively.
That was Luke Fletcher, Executive Director of Jubilee Australia, speaking there to Richard Hewitt. And that regional debt conference continues for the rest of the week.